Microphone 6 seconds. Good evening, one and all. Yes, it's a Wednesday, halfway through another week, and this is me, Barry, your host, Barry Eva. Host it for a while, a couple of weeks, but I've just booked a trip back home. Finally going to get back home in a couple of weeks' time, so we'll sort something out for that. But yeah, I'll be glad to get over and see everybody, but at least it's booked now, which is half the battle. Okay, now talking about battles and stuff like that, we've brought up this loads of times before, that perhaps children and seniors, though in a lot of cases no filters, one would say, but they are open to accepting a lot of things which, once you get to sort of like an adult teen sort of wall, you don't want to recognize, you don't want to understand. Well, my guest today, he was sort of going through this as a younger person, sort of had almost spiritual awakenings, and that we'll find out a bit more when we talk to him. But and then sort of something happened with one of his family, and it sort of opened everything up, I think, and helped him understand it. Well, I better introduce him, haven't I? Because he is, find out where all the bits are. He is a renowned clairvoyant. He is a master astrologer, a psychic visionary, a sound healer, an empath. Highly respected for his compassion and his integrity. Who is it, you might ask? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'll introduce you now, because on the show today we have the one and only Anthony Teresi. Hi, Anthony. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Even though I stumbled through afterwards, I got the things I wanted to say about you. But what I was saying was, you know, when you were growing up, you did have some of these sort of visions that you just couldn't understand some of them, was it?
I did. I actually was brought up in a family that had for generations, had individuals who had these kinds of experiences.
Ah, right. So I didn't realize that. So it's part of the, yeah. It was in the family. Oh, right.
Yeah. So I wasn't really made to feel strange or, anything like that. I was actually nurtured. So when, for example, I would know that someone was going to call, I would tell my mother as an adolescent, as a child, Aunt so-and-so is going to call. And then, sure enough, 10, 15 minutes later, the phone would ring and it would be my aunt. And everybody would laugh, and it would be a good, support. And this went on all the way through my adolescent years, and I didn't think much of it, to be honest with you. I just thought everyone was that way. And
right.
Actually, they are. It's just that, unfortunately for most, it's not nurtured from a young age,
right.
And consequently it becomes kind of like woo-woo stuff.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, what did we use? About 5%, 10% of our brain? There's so much there more that we could use, and we just don't. As you say, whether it's a case of you're not trained or whether it's a case you don't accept it. I mean, I think we all got it there somewhere.
I agree. Absolutely.
So it was something happened to your brother, was it? And you sort of finally opened up, I guess, to sort of realizing with what happened with your brother.
Right. My brother, kind of a long story. I'm not sure we have enough time for it, but I'll just touch on it briefly. My brother was flying to Mexico for a vacation. He had his own plane. And he got blown off course near Acapulco. And he was missing. He was gone for about a month, which was not unusual, but this was getting on to the point of being concerned. So I went down there to look for him and spent a lot of another month exploring the jungles and trying to find out what happened. All to no avail, and I couldn't fathom leaving without finding out what happened, but I had covered every road, every village, I hired trackers, I hired guides, I hired interpreters, everything I could possibly do. And I was sitting there in my hotel room ready to go back home the next day and tell my family that unfortunately had been unsuccessful. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And at that particular point, I was frustrated and deeply sorrowful. And the room lit up, literally lit up. And my brother appeared to me, not in his physical body, but in what I refer to as a light body or mm-hmm. a spiritual body or an aura, whatever you want to call it. And we spoke, and he told me that his plane had indeed crashed and may or may not be found one day, but that he was moving on. And my brother and I were very close, both in years and just in, as far as brothers are concerned, we were only 14 months apart. So I knew him very well, and I could see that in spite of what had happened, he was absolutely thrilled. And the light and the energy that was pouring from this like veil that seemed to have parted in that little hotel room in Acapulco was just amazing. It flooded me and inundated me, and I was both laughing and crying at the same time. And he had said to tell everyone, say goodbye, that he loved them all, and then he was gone.
Wow.
And the room went back to normal, whatever that is. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, oh my God, this had been, you know, the epitome of any kind of experience that I had ever had. I had had quote unquote psychic experiences. I had had spiritual experiences, but nothing like this where the veil actually parted between dimensions and whatever right. you want to call the other side. So it was pretty amazing.
I bet. This sort of journey, if you like, through awakening and the truth and everything, you'd share with us in your new book, Rippling Waves, A Spiritual Journey Through the Heart of the Universe. What enabled you to sort of realize and to open up and find this way through love and things like that? How did this sort of manifest itself?
Well, I've had a very unusual life. I was a musician for many years. I've always been interested in metaphysics, and I've had a very deep, rich emotional family experience as well. And as time went on, especially through music, my intuition became sharper, and my thirst for knowledge became deeper and deeper, and I began having these visions. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite know what they were to begin with, and this was before, and then certainly after the experience with my brother, they became greatly enhanced, and I began literally being able to bypass the mental process of thought. Mm-hmm. And connect with pure consciousness, and during which time literally my vibration would raise and I would sort of enter a new dimension
right.
in which there were beings and other celestial presence. And people talk about this when they take hallucinatory drugs and mm-hmm. things like that, but this is not that. This is something that is far more enhanced and greater. And when this happens, the one thing that strikes you more than anything is the communication level. There is we are very stuck, unfortunately, with having to use language. But in higher dimensions, language is obsolete. I like to use the word psychic or telepathic communication.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is that when you are communicating with someone at a higher level in a higher dimension, the communication occurs all at once. All meanings, all nuances, all intention happens simultaneously. So you're not having to listen in a linear fashion to someone explain something to you. And that I found was the vehicle by which I was able to continue on into greater and greater experiences. So I know we don't have 5 hours to talk about this, but
Did you have guides? Did you sort of, in your various sort of steps along the way to this, I guess, revelation?
oh
Did
yes,
you have
many.
guides on the steps?
Yep, many times, and not only guys, but also other presence as well. Angelic, again, celestial, what are called ascended masters, all of which I write about in my book. But in each chapter, it takes the reader through these very experiences, what guides appear when, how they are sort of unique to their own dimensions or universes. And again, it builds upon each experience that I've had. I'm writing about a lifetime worth of experiences, which I'm putting into story form so the reader can make sense of it. Otherwise,
Yeah, no, that helps. A reader will always, if you put it in story form, the reader takes it in and puts themselves in the place of you or something like that. And I think it's so much better. And I'm sure they're reading it and think, well, I can remember something like that. Because as you say, people, if they open and if they accept and if they sort of, as you say, follow the paths and that, a lot more people will realize that it's not unusual what you did.
And that's the whole idea. I know there are other people out there. I've met them who have had similar experiences. Sometimes these are unique experiences in that they happen slightly different depending on the person. But I'm not so much interested in reaching those people because they already know the realities of what I'm writing about. I'm interested in reaching the person in between, the one who, for whatever reason, is not able to get the truest, deepest meaning of their life, and they're searching for that. And this will help that kind of individual realize the degree of reality expansion that is available to them.
So
And if
it's
you.
sorry. So it's like it helps them discover who they really are, because so many people look for that, and this would help them discover that, I'd guess.
Yep, absolutely. That's the whole reason it's written, is to discover who you are, and once done, to develop and experience and explore what's available to you when you are able to go within and find that true self.
Because I know it's not something you just did and that was it. You actually have made an effort or gone deeper and deeper into these levels of consciousness, haven't you?
Absolutely. And I want to hasten to add that this is, like you said, this is not something I just, woke up, fell out of bed, and all of a sudden I could do it. This is something that took decades to achieve. And it wasn't that I was necessarily working so hard at it. This was something that I loved. It coincided with many of the other aspects of my life. And as a collective experience ongoing, through elevated consciousness and greater ability to connect to higher frequencies, then it was an ongoing development that took me to the highest areas that I discuss in my book. But but you're right. It's for example, much of this didn't happen until I was able to master being a musician. And that took around 18 or 19 years before I realized that I had gotten to that point. So that'll just give you some sort of idea of, like, this is a life work in progress.
Do you think the music part helped? I mean, is it like, with music and that, you're sort of the harmony of it, and you get into the music, become one with the music. Do you think that actually helped you with the spiritual journey side of it?
Without a doubt, without a doubt. In order to even be a musician, you have to have a degree of intuition to be able to, number one, manage your own instrument, and number two, integrate that music with the other musicians in the band or orchestra or whatever. And that's a high, people don't realize it, but that's a highly intuitive process. And becoming one with the music literally is to become that single source within yourself. So yes, music was a major, along with the study of yoga, was a major contributor to this ability.
In your book, if people read the book, as we said, Rippling Waves, A Spiritual Journey Through the Heart of the Universe, what is it do you want the person to get from your book? Is it sort of to realize that there, these things are there, or to help, or just to even, understand perhaps something in their lives?
Absolutely. I would like, when a person reads my book, it's not speed reading. It's the kind of book that you can read a couple of paragraphs or maybe even a chapter and sort of dwell on it. And it's a highly visual, it's written in a highly visual style. So it gives the reader an opportunity to use their own imagination, to do their best to visualize these realms, these beings. And in doing so, without a doubt, automatically their own consciousness will rise just in the effort to grasp what's on the page.
Right. Well, one of the important things, like, that I believe that you sort of emphasize through this whole thing is the power of love. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
And how, and is it that people just don't see it, or they don't understand it, or they don't open themselves up to it? What are people lacking in that?
Well, unfortunately, we live in a time when love is not recognized as the highest force in the universe. We live in a time when we're bombarded by media, internet, news, politics, materialism, go get as much as you can for yourself.
Yeah, true.
And, that shouts down that voice within you that says you are more than that, that you are, in fact, an expression and a creation of love from the source of all things. And when we begin putting the emphasis on what's out there in the world, on how many Cadillacs we own or whatever, we again project away from ourselves the consciousness, awareness, and put it out there in the world, when in fact it's really within ourselves. When we begin to conduct our lives from the inside out, from the source of our soul and spirit, that's when life begins to have meaning, and that's when love flourishes.
We're saying about the music just now, but didn't you invent your own instrument or something, which you use concerts to sort of help people, along this road of enlightenment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That again, was later in my career. After about 20, 25 years, I began to realize, from my total studies, the power of vibration, the power of frequency, and music is nothing but frequency. And I realized over a period of time that certain frequencies could have certain effects on people. So I created I created a number of one-of-a-kind instruments that were designed to vibrate different parts of the body in a musical way. And I found that healings could occur, and people were greatly people who had a chance to listen were greatly filled with joy when they could feel the release of some of the burdens that they had been carrying by vibration. So it's kind of hard to explain exactly without someone listening to that, but in either case, that led me into an entirely new area of sound healing, which I had great pleasure in. But then that was a stepping stone, because after a while, I realized that I could have more effect doing a you know, talking to people individually in a psychic manner and utilizing my psychic abilities and telepathy to determine to an even greater degree what was going on in their lives
to
and being able
help
to help
them.
And stuff like that.
I think if I remember right, the ancient Aborigines with the didgeridoo, that was a healing instrument with, and yeah, anybody's heard it, it is a vibration type sound that you get from it. So that's not surprising at all.
Oh, I love that instrument. And it's a very primal instrument. And
yeah.
The Aborigines, as far as we know, their society goes back at least 10,000 years that we know of. And
yep.
I can't imagine that it wasn't even before that. But that instrument is a very unique instrument, and it does resonate.
Yeah,
and
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
It, yeah. It resonates the brain gray matter in a way that's highly unusual.
Very, very hard to play because you have to breathe in and out at the same time. And I think that's the hardest thing to learn from what I understand.
Yeah, it's called cyclic breathing.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
In a way, it's a little similar to bagpipes, but
yep.
with a completely different sound.
Right, indeed. So what sort of response have you had from the book so far?
Well, I've been very, very happy and blessed. The book came out in a matter of weeks. It was number one on Amazon.
Cool, great.
And it's been doing very well. It's been out since March. And I've been very happy with the reception, and I've had the opportunity to do a lot of shows like your own,
mm-hmm.
which I really appreciate you having me on. These are the kinds of shows that get the message out, and it's been really worthwhile and really satisfying. I'm really happy that I took the 3.5 years it took me to write it.
Right. Now you've written this first one. You're going to do a follow-up one, sort of perhaps with some cases or something like that?
I may. I have something kind of swirling around in my creative consciousness right now. It hasn't quite taken form. I'm hoping, and I don't exactly know what's going to happen out there in the world, but I'm hoping that, what I would like to do is do a book tour.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to people in person,
right?
And and lecture, and maybe break down the book in person, take questions, things like that. But I'm not quite sure if that's going to be available this year. That might have to wait till next year.
Right. I mean, it's the sort of thing that, yeah, I can see that, as you say, with the breaking down, going through it, etc. And you know, people will ask questions, and that's how people learn, by asking questions. And your books there to help them along the way. You can only guide them so far. The last bit, the opening up, etc., is something they have to do. But if they are not just guided along the path, but guided to find the path by you. I can see that being a great help to a lot of people.
Well, I would hope so. I'd hope that not only being guided, that it would be a high degree of inspiration that would be motivational as well in learning some of these things and reading about them. What I have found is that certain individuals feel stimulated by it, and they begin having their own visions and their own memories
right.
of life's past.
Right.
So it's a remarkable experience.
Oh yeah, the whole past life thing is something I find very hard to get my brain around. But that's another story. I know it's there. I know it happens. But when I had it, I the thing I didn't understand, and this is because we don't understand time. I mean, time is something we just don't understand. But the fact that I thought I was there for sort of like 10 minutes and it was 2.5 hours, you know, the whole concept of time is something that I don't think any of us understand. And I'm sure that's something that over the next 100, 200 years, you know, we'll most likely get a better idea about. But that's another story.
Yeah, another story.
Indeed. Well, time is beating us. So what I'm going to do now, Anthony, anyway, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find more about you and, of course, your book, Rippling Waves.
Well, I'm very easily found. You can go to anthonyterisi.com. That's ANTHONYTERESI.com. That will take you to my website, and that will show you my services, my prices, what I charge, what I do. You can also buy a copy of Rippling Waves there. And you can also listen to a large variety of some of the interviews I've done. When I get a chance, I'll have this one on as well. And it pretty much find out exactly who I am and where I've been.
Okay, sounds really good, and it has been really good having you on the show and listening to that about the book and your path yourself. So, Anthony, thank you so much for being a guest today on the show.
Oh, my pleasure, and thank you for having me.
No problem, thank you. Well, there you go. How about that, eh? My guest today, Anthony Teresi. So that's as you said, Anthony, as it spells out, and Teresi is TERESI. And we've been talking to him today about his book, new book, Rippling Waves: A Spiritual Journey Through the Heart of the Universe. Very interesting, very actually understanding in a way. I found it, to sort of understand how you go through the paths with the guides and stuff like that. In a lot of I've had a lot of people obviously on the show and that sort of thing, but this is a real good description of the way through this. Almost a maze, but you've got to open up and then the maze disappears and it's a straight path. But really, really interesting. So look out for that book, and as you said, you can find him on his website, anthonyteresi.com, Rippling Waves. Anyway, that's it for now for this week's chat shows. I'll be back on Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern. On Sunday, we have an hour of Those Were the Days, and we've been doing teenage heartbreaks this week. So the music for an hour on that from the 20th century. So you never know when we go back. I think 1903 is the furthest we've gone back so far. And after that, from 6 to 7, we have the Swinging 60s. Not just the British Invasion, but all the music from the Swinging 60s. And we're up to the H, I think we're up to the letter J possibly, or K, I can't think. J or K in our A to Z of groups from the 60s. So think what we got. Just say, yeah, it's not J, it's K. So have a think. See who you can think with the letter K. J's was easy, K's not so easy. You have to think to work on that. It's going to take me a while to work on it as well. Anyway, that's it. And of course, next week I'll be back with a fresh book and a chat. But as always, until then, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget. Make sure it's working.